I was sitting there thinking that I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm not needing that. I think it is worth a whole lot just to come over here to listen to an introduction like that. I sure don't think other than music. Not only is this my past, this is my family. A lot of preachers in our ranks you might disagree with, and you might talk to some to any member of my family about them. They would say anything. But let me tell you one thing, if you don't want to get your hand cold quick, don't you tell any of them anything bad about you and the others. We appreciate you, and I appreciate your family. Appreciate this honor. Someone said this morning, I see you prepared for war. I said, yes, I'm ready for truth. The messengers decided to have the truth and go home. I'm ready for it. I'm glad you didn't. I wouldn't take the CMU for being permitted to do my best to preach to you. Appreciate the fact that you've remained. Heard a story the other day, perhaps I was hungry, that had a little of everything along with it. Always complaining. Nobody took him seriously. And he finally said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If I'm going to prepare my own tombstone, I'm going to put my epitaph on it. I don't want anybody to look at it until you go to bed about it. So he fixed his own tombstone. Put the own epitaph on it, covered it and draped it. Finally, the man died. They buried him. Ground had settled around his grave, and they wanted to put up the tombstone. They went and pulled the drape off it. There was his epitaph. I told you there's something wrong with me. Well, people don't like others to cry on their shoulder. I know that. I don't want to do it. I broke down last night, and I don't know how many people said today, what's wrong with me this time? 1961 in Miami, Florida. While I was in Miami, I got the word that the doctor had pronounced Mrs. Fowler to have Parkinson's disease. When I got home and said 3 years outside, I think she did. We was that patient. Contentment is the best medicine you can give. We moved back to our little home, Texas County. She's still going. She broke down yesterday. Well, maybe this will be my last. Opportunity to be with you. Pardon. But pray for her. In John 14, the first three verses I read, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Those words, three words, I will come again. I call your attention as a basis, a text for what remarks I have to make. I will come again. You know, there are some things that people tell us that we don't know whether they're true or not. Some people, isn't that so? I see children, they don't know whether their parents mean what they tell them or not. One of my daughters said, Daddy, I don't know what on earth I'm going to do with that boy. He doesn't pay a bit of attention in the world. Well, I said, you can begin by just telling him one time.
Tell him one time? He doesn't...
Oh, he said, I guess I'm beginning to see what you mean. Now, when you just keep telling a child again and again, if you do that, I'm going to lick you, I'm going to skin you, I'm going to pat you, and you don't do it, we soon learn you don't mean what you say. I thank God for a memory of a father. I know he loved me, but he's firm with me. I remember on an occasion I went to church, and I was back with some boys that were laughing and talking. I didn't talk, but I laughed. And I saw Dad look around, and he saw that I saw him look around. And his son straightened up. We got home that night. I said, I'll unharness the team. Dad said, no, I'll fix it. I don't need him here, I'll go with you. We unharnessed the team, and we started the house. He had a way of catching me by the ear and twisting it until it all, I don't see why my ears are not as big as Lyndon Johnson's way they are. And he said, didn't I see you talking last church tonight? I said, no. And I laughed and didn't talk then. Well, I said, if I ever see any more misbehavior, he still had to hold that ear. Said, I'm going to come back and get you for this ear, and I'm going to march you down here and put you down on the front seat for me. He said, you heard that, didn't you? I said, yes. He said, in my ear. I never had a bit more doubt that he'd do it than I have whether I'm not upstanding before you. I knew he'd do it. And I'd rather he'd take me a stick of silverwood to beat my brains up and march me down the aisle with that ear sticking up that way. But he's done it. Now, when Jesus said, I'm coming, we've learned from what other things that Jesus has said to know that he's coming back. Thank God he said, I'm coming back. Well, how do we know that he's coming back? We know by his testimony. We know by the testimony of the disciples and apostles whom were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. We know by the testimony of the prophets. We know by the testimony of the angels. And all of the testimony harmonizes and agrees that one day the Son of Glory is coming back after his people. To receive them, he said, unto himself. He said, I will come again. The apostles didn't quibble about it. The writers of the Bible didn't get amazed that maybe he's coming and maybe he isn't coming. But the second coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a positive teaching. Listen to me. I have as much right to doubt the first coming of Jesus Christ as I do his second coming. Well, you say, that's funny. I know he came. Yes. And thank God, I know he's coming again. That's how positive is the teaching of his coming. Daniel, the prophet, in the 7th chapter of Daniel, and in verses 12 and 13, or 13 and 14, speaks of how he saw one coming whose hair was white, and he was as the ancient of days. And he came, he said, to establish an everlasting or an eternal government. Daniel knew that Jesus was coming, and he prophesied not only of his first coming, but he prophesied of his second coming. And not only is that so, but Enoch prophesied. Jude 14 said, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his angels. Where was that prophecy recorded there? What? He'd be writing a letter, a book, I don't know. I wish we had it. Some way it's destroyed, but Jews have access to it. And Jews said, Brother Enoch said, the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. And that harmonized with every teaching of Jesus Christ. He's coming to me where he's going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and then he's coming. And Paul said in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We have heartache, we have trials, we have disappointment. And we have separation. Brother Glover talked a while ago about the division in our ranks in 1950. Not only that, but down through the years, every year, we have a list of preachers, we have a list of others that we can call off the names that would be appalling of those whom God has called home. But he's calling them. And one day, somebody will add the name of the end of 80,000 and of you and you and you to the list if the Lord can delay his coming. And they'll miss us. They'll say that we want you to pray for thy loved ones and honor thy name. Well, that's happened. I can go back to every church that I pastor, and I'll find good and true people, loyal people who stood for God down through the years. But I can go in the cemeteries, and I can find the tombs of hundreds and hundreds of those that I've put away, kept put away, God called them home. We have disappointment, we have separation. But thank God we can look forward with assurance to the time when Jesus is coming again. The angels said Jesus is coming. Jesus went out on the Galilean hills with his disciples. He'd done all he could do and said all that he could say. And came time for him to leave. And seemingly the force of gravitation removed the chest of him and his body began to go up to dust and dust. And they were standing in awe. And I can imagine that one of them said, well, it's all done. But no, look on. Look on to see that hole in the crowd down the door. Suddenly two men in white apparel stood by them and said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? The same Jesus that you have been defending in like manner, one day you're going to see him beat to him. Oh, beloved, the Christ who raised the manger in Bethlehem in his first bed on earth. The Christ who graced the borrowed tomb in his last night upon earth, or 2 nights upon earth, 3 nights upon earth. I don't want to argue with him about when he was crucified, but he was crucified, and he died, and he was buried, and they put him in Joseph's new tomb. Like Jesus was coming back from the grave. So he came forth out of the grave, triumphant over death and hell of the grave. The Christ who sailed the waters of the Sea of Galilee, the Christ who smoothed and soothed the fevered brow, the Christ who raised the widow's son, the Christ who brought Martha Lazarus out of the grave, the Christ who healed the leper, the Christ who stood with his apostles and disciples and said, having loved his own, he loved the mundane. The Christ who was crucified on a cruel cross and hanged on Calvary. The Christ whose brow was born, his two hands and feet the naked spear, whose back the light and leaf spirit and broke the flesh. The Christ who was so marred, according to Isaiah 53, he didn't even look like a man. But the Christ who triumphantly came forth from the grave and said, peace be unto you. The Christ who pronounced that he'd never leave to forsake his people, be with them all the way as they served him. Thank God that Jesus is coming back one day. Then Jesus told his disciples that he is coming back, as I read to you. But when will he come? I don't know. I think it's when I was fasting in Hot Springs over on that street. They had the big promotion about the man over in the northwest somewhere. Set a time, and the Lord is coming. Got a bunch of followers. They all got some white robes. They were going to get up on top of the mountain and wait for it. Certain hour, certain moment, that morning the Lord. God, missionary Baptist just sucked me into that kind of shit. Somehow we said, those highways and that since the Lord's coming in, I said, no, he's not coming in. He may come earlier that day, and may come later that day. But my Lord said that no man knows the day nor the hour. I don't even believe that Jesus knew then. He might now know, but he said the Father knew. Thank God when the Father said it's time, then Jesus is coming. Then I would like you to look at me, with me, hurriedly to another thing. While no man knows the hour of his coming, God knows. And it doesn't make it any, it doesn't weaken the sureness of his coming. Because we don't know when, does he? He said, watch, pray, Someone told this story after World War One, and they told me it's a true story, I don't know. A certain young lady married to a man who couldn't read and couldn't write. And the married long, he got false gold. He said, "Honey, I'm going. I can't write you, you know that. But I want you to remember one thing. I love you. And I'm coming back." The war went on, others hurt some bad others. But I never heard from her because of the mess. They had long list casualties in World War One, up in Norman Papers. Laboriously ready for my husband. Her John is not among them. By and by, the others begin to come home. Her John didn't come. She became very melancholy. Morose. People became uneasy about it. Thought she was losing her mind. They gave a party in their honor when they gathered for their festive occasion. She took her place out in the front in the porch swing. They said, "Mabel, come in." She said, "No." "Sit down, my son. I don't see that interesting." They had a council at the back, and they said, "We're going to have to take it to the doctor. She's lost her mind." Suddenly they heard a scream, and they rushed out. She was going down the road. She outran the fast running team, down a ways to those turns on the. When they turned the corner, they found that girl in the arms of her daughter. She said, "Oh, John, I knew you coming. I waited for you. When I heard that story, in my heart I said, 'Oh, God, help me, that I may so live and act that when that hour comes and you return like you said you would, that in my heart I can be glad to see you and welcome that you to come back for me.'" Well, in what manner is he coming? I don't know. They said he was coming back. What difference this made? Whether he comes out of the west, or out of the east, or out of the north, or out of the south, or whether he drops us straight down. You know, the important thing is that he's coming with you. Jesus is coming. He said he was going to be with you. And he's coming. I don't know in what manner. He said he'd come to see in the night. He's not going to come when everybody's looking for him. Well, they're not looking for him. Everybody's not now. Oh, you're kind of old fogey and old fashioned. If you really believe in the second coming of Christ. Did you know that a great part of the so-called evangelical world and the evangelical churches of the world do not really believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ? No, they don't believe it. But God's word is, and we can depend on it. And I'm not ashamed to preach it and to proclaim it. And even though he might not come in my lifetime, I can be like Job of old. I can say, even as the skin runs, destroy this flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Oh, thank God for the assurance of his coming. And he's going to come quickly. And he's going to come universally. I was talking to one of our preachers. I called him my friend. Told him about everything that he went through. And he said, you know, about 18 years ago, he said, you know, I believe that the way things are shaping up, that we're fixing to come into the last war. And I've never done much preaching, but I'm gonna straighten up. And I wanna get busy. Because you know, I wanna be busy in the service of God and Jesus Christ. Well, better to come late than not to come at all. But I'll tell you what I think Jesus is going to appreciate a lot more for those who have always been busy in his service and haven't just come in because they thought he was coming here tomorrow. How we need to manifest day by day the glorious fact that we're looking for him. And then, for what purpose is he coming? Well, he said, I'm going to come. And the first reason Jesus gave, because he wanted to see you under my self. Now, I don't think he wrote this, he spoke these words just to declare the prophecy. I don't believe that. Yes, he's going to receive them under himself. But his perspective reached out all of us. And when Jesus said, I'm going to receive you unto myself, the application is just as surely to you as it is to me. That's what it is in the God. Those who have been redeemed by his own precious blood. His church that has stood the ages and storms of the ages. Many his battle scars. But thank God, when Jesus comes, her head will be unbowed. We will have been true to him. I believe it's going to be that cause is going to continue until Jesus comes. He's coming after his own. He said, they shall be mine, the third chapter of Malachi, the 18th verse, when I return to make up my jewels. Oh, sometimes I hear people talk about how loyal they are and how faithful they are, how much they've always been led by the Spirit of God. Frankly, I'm kind of afraid of that kind of a person. I think they're lying a little sparkly. I've done things that I shouldn't do, but I tell you what I'm glad of. I'm glad of that in my pastorate, I have known some of God's jewels. Thank God for their memory. Some folks said here to me yesterday, said, did you know Aunt Lula Wells is in the hospital? I didn't. I got up this morning, went down to Warner Brown Hospital to see that old lady. She's hard as gig. I don't think she heard even half a dozen words I said. But she looked at me with tears in her eyes and said, I'm glad you came. I think that's one of the jewels that God's going to make this. And as I started out, a woman in the outside bed said, "Are you a Baptist preacher?" And I said, "I am." She said, "My mother is across the hall. My stepfather is having surgery this morning, but her pastor isn't here. She needs to preach her. Would you go and see her?" I went across and asked for her, and she said, "Yes, here I am." And I went and stood by her bed. Husband already knocked out unconscious. And she said, I told her who I was, and she said, "Oh, I know." And said, "You remember a certain man?" And I did. And said, we lived with him. And just after I left Promised Land Church, Brother Hollingsworth succeeded me, J.E. Hollingsworth. And J.E. Hollingsworth's wife had lost her health. And the doctors can't do anything for her. And she's almost at the point of death. Remember them when you pray. And she said, "Brother Hollingsworth baptized my husband." Said, "You know, Brother Towers, it's a small world." Said, "I'm so glad she came and had a prayer with me. I can say what I have to say a little more bravely than I could have otherwise." Well, God said he's going to make up his jewels. Are you going to be among that number? Now, some jewels are going to shine brighter than others. You're going to shine in accordance, in glory, I think, in accordance with how you've been faithful here on earth. At his coming, he's going to resurrect the righteous. J.D. asked me this morning, said, "Dad, who died first?" 1944, I went home to celebrate, was going to celebrate a golden wedding anniversary of my father and mother, and we celebrated, or rather, excuse me, I didn't mean that word, instead of celebrating, we had to bury one of my brothers, and I buried another brother, and then father was buried, and then mother was buried, and then another brother was buried. And I thank God I can look forward, and I believe with all of my heart I'll meet them. They'll be as something to do with God when he resurrects them from the dead. He's coming to resurrect his saints from the dead. "Behold, I show you a mystery," Paul said. "We shall not all see, but in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first." And then afterward, we're going to be changed. And Paul said again that we're going to be with the Lord, and thus we shall ever be with him. Jesus said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." The next thing will be the translation of the righteous wicked, or the translation, excuse me, of the righteous dead. And then afterwards, there's a lot of other things that happen, but Jesus is coming after his own. He's coming to resurrect his saints and to translate his saints, and we shall be glorified as the Lord is glorified. And then finally, go back. I think we can go back to Adam. Adam sinned. But when God pronounced a curse upon the woman, upon the man, upon the earth, he said the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the seed of the serpent. That wasn't much gospel. but that's all Adam had. He knew he had sinned. He knew he deserved to go to hell. But when he looked and he saw Eve's name, Isha, her woman before that, but when he looked at Eve, he said, Eve. And Eve means the mother of all living. And I think then and there, Adam trusted in the Son, the seed of the woman that was coming one day and be nailed to the cross and God saved him. And all down the ages, he's added to and added to. Our congregation is going to be. And you know, the Lord said that he's going to say one day, if some people come sit with me on my throne. I said one time in a revival meeting, and I believe it, that one day God's going to say to you, I think he's going to say, John Chesney, come in. And we look up there, there's these John Kessner sitting on the throne to the side of the glorified Christ. And then he's going to call you and you, somebody, and I say, man, heard that. He said, I wonder if that fool had thought about how long that would take. Well, I said, John, would you share a message back to him, for me? I said, had he ever thought about how long eternity will be? Well, I don't care if he wants me to shut down a million years, there'll be plenty of time to get around to you, that's why. If he keeps you there a million years, then my time's coming. We're going to be with the Lord. May the Lord bless you. It's my time. Brother Mother.